اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. الحمد لله. Yesterday night our Hufadhi Ikram in the Taraweeh prayer recited Juz 26 from the beginning, completed Juz 26, and completed reciting the first quarter of Juz 27, in which they recited Surah Ahqaf, Surah Muhammad, Surah Fatah, Surah Hujurat, Surah Qaf, Surah Dhariyat, Surah Tur, Surah Najm, and Surah Qamar. Very briefly, we will touch upon the main aspects of each of these surahs. Surah Ahqaf. Ahqaf means the dunes. So it is the last of the Hamim surahs. Ahqaf means dunes, and it refers to where Hud alayhi salam warned his nation. So in the previous surahs, the various objections of the mushrikeen for worshipping partners with Allah was fully refuted. Here the mushrikeen's stubbornness by saying that they experience benefits by praying to these idols is dispelled. At the end of Surah Ahqaf, Allah asks them whether their gods will be able to save them from His punishment, if they can indeed be of any assistance. So obviously the answer is no, so how can they then still persist in making shirk, making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In addition to the themes of the Hawamim surahs, the surahs that begin with Hamim, where Allah first establishes the authenticity of the Qur'an and the prophethood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter brings different incidents of prophets, of Musa alayhi salam, to advise the mushrikeen and to encourage the mu'mineen, followed by vivid descriptions of the akhirah. And conversations take place in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This surah also cautions the Makkans, the people living in Makkah, by telling them that he destroyed many nations outside of Makkah, like Aad, like Thamud, and others. So the gods that they worship could not assist them or be of any help when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment overcame them. In this surah, Surah Ahqaf, from ayah 15 to 17, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the Muslims to be exceedingly good towards their parents and not to disobey them. Allah reminds us that your mother held you in her womb and then fed and looked after you with difficulty, going through pain and sacrificing her own comfort. And yet we find people today totally mistreating their parents and putting them in old age homes, care homes, putting them at the complete disposal of other complete strangers. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that unfortunate is a person who finds one or both his parents in old age and does not attain paradise through serving them. Nowadays, weeks and months go by and the parents are not visited or even called to see how they are doing. Ill treatment of parents is a quick cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment descending upon that person in this world. And many are there whose lives were ruined because of ill treatment towards the parents. We know the famous hadith where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking upon the minbar and he said Ameen on each step. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he is making a bad dua, And of one of those bad-du'a is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse that person who finds either one of his parents in their old age, and he doesn't do their khidmah, and he doesn't attain Jannah through that. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. Thereafter, this surah completes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we become the best in doing the khidmah of our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. The surah completes, and then Surah Muhammad begins. Surah Muhammad is a Madani surah, and it references the Battle of Badr, which took place in the second year after Hijrah. So this surah refers to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose name is mentioned in the second verse clearly as the one who receives revelation. So some misguided people say that revelation was supposed to go to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. So here the Quran is being clear about who the revelation was meant for and who it went to. So this surah is called Surah Qital after exhausting all efforts in having patience with the mushrikeen and inviting them towards the truth and stopping their torture and oppression. Now Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins with a stern warning, a very strict warning, that even the good actions of those who stop people from practicing Islam will be destroyed, and then encourages Muslims to fight for the cause of their belief in Tawheed and to stop the oppression that was being perpetrated against the Muslims and against the call of Islam. From the beginning of the concept of Tawheed is discussed at great length up to Surah Ahqaf. Now the surahs following this surah concentrate mainly on Qiyamah in addition, and mentions taking up jihad to establish the truth and prevent oppression. It would therefore be correct to say that the fifth and final part of the Quran begins with Surah Muhammad. Surah Muhammad and the two surahs that follow, Surah Fatah and Surah Hujarat, all discuss the same basic principles. There are also many surahs after these that share the same themes. While Surah Muhammad encourages Muslims to fight in jihad and Surah Fatah contains promises of victory, Surah Hujarat mentions certain laws of conduct and etiquette. The link between the three surahs can be understood by the following phrase. When you Muslims will fight in jihad, Allah will grant you His promised victory. Thereafter, when you have become victors, you should behave and conduct yourselves according to certain principles of etiquette. Surah Muhammad may be divided into two parts in terms of this subject matter. The first part commences from the beginning of the surah and concludes at the end of ayah 19. The second part begins from surah 20 and terminates at the end of the surah. The first part contrasts the qualities of the mu'mineen to those of the mushrikeen, detailing the outcome of both parties. It also encourages Muslims to wage jihad, adding the reasons for jihad as well. And the second part reproaches the munafiqeen for their reluctance in physically partaking in jihad and contributing to it. The condition of the munafiqeen is then detailed at the end of the surah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala apologies, it was being cut off at the bottom. So the second part reproaches the munafiqeen for their reluctance in physically partaking in the jihad and contributing in it, and then outlaws its outcome. Then the surah completes and Surah Fatah begins. Surah Fatah means the victory. It is a Madani surah. While Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages Muslims to fight in jihad, Surah Fatah conveys to them the glad tidings of Allah's assistance and sure victory if they wage jihad with sincerity. This surah may be also divided into two parts. The first part commences from the beginning of the surah and concludes with the words, He will inflict them with a painful punishment, in Ayah 17. This part contains two glad tidings for the Muslims, being the help of Allah, by which they will be victorious in battle, and entry into paradise for their striving. Encouragement for jihad is contained in this part as well as the reproach for the munafiqeen, whose true colors come out when they are told to go and strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second part begins with ayah 18 and then continues on until the end of the surah. This part repeats the subjects discussed in the first part. Then from ayah 27 up till the end, the surah speaks about a significant dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a dream, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw himself and the Sahaba entering the Masjidul Haram to perform Umrah. However, when they left for Makkah to perform Umrah, they were prevented from entering Makkah at a place called Hudaybiyah. The truth of the dream, therefore, came under question. So in ayah 27, Allah replies to this question by saying that the dream was perfectly true and that the Muslims will soon enter into the Masjidul Haram for Umrah the following year. So the truthfulness of the dream cannot be questioned because the dream did not stipulate which year it would happen in. Then the surah completes and surah 49, which is surah Hujurat, begins. Hujurat means the rooms, plural. It is a Madani surah and it means the chambers or the rooms, referring to the houses of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the victory of the Muslims was announced in Surah Fatah, Allah advises them about their code of conduct after conquering their enemies, as now many people were accepting Islam and many tribes would come to Medina to do so. It was then necessary to advise the etiquette to be observed. So this surah teaches us that our deen is not just about halal and haram, but in fact, a very important part of our deen is adab, etiquette, manners and respect. The one who observes manner has good akhlaq, and the one who does so will progress in deen and in his life. But the person who is only concerned with halal and haram and has no etiquette and has no manners will be deprived of the true essence of the Islamic adab and Islamic behavior, and thereby he will be deprived of much of his deen as well. So this surah may also be divided into two parts. The first part commences from the beginning of the surah and finishes at ayah 13. So the first part teaches showing respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the proper etiquette to be adopted when interacting with him, and also the etiquette of social interaction between Muslims. The second part begins with ayah 14 and completes at the end of the surah. This part reproaches, tells off some villagers who declared their iman and used such words that conveyed that they were regarding it to be a favor to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah tells them that the true iman means not doubting any part of the faith and exerting oneself with one's wealth in striving for the cause of Islam. So this part of the surah also takes the message of Tawheed further. Whilst Surah Muhammad made the statement, La ilaha illallah, none is worthy of worship but Allah, Surah Fatah goes a step further to assert that none other must be regarded as partner to Allah, and his purity from partners must be recited morning and evening. Now Surah Hujurat clearly asserts, Verily Allah has knowledge of the unseen things in the heavens and the earth, and Allah sees what you do. Then Surah Hujurat completes and Surah Qaf begins. Surah Qaf is the Qaf word that the surah begins with is from the Hurufi Muqatta'at, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their exact meaning. So Surah Muhammad, Surah Fatah and Surah Hujurat, they formed a part of the last fifth of the Qur'an and they detailed the aspects of jihad. Thereafter Surah Qaf, Surah Dhariyat and Surah Tur, they begin the second part, detailing aspects of the resurrection and the reckoning, the day of Qiyamah. So these three surahs, Surah Qaf, Dhariyat and Tur, are Makki surahs. The first part of the surah instructs Muslims to fight the mushrikeen because they ascribe many partners to Allah. The second part mentions that besides their shirk, they also refute resurrection. They do not believe in resurrection, qiyamah, and reckoning. Thereafter, Surah Qaf completes and Surah Dhariyat begins. Allah discusses the destruction of five nations in this surah. First, He discusses the destruction of the people of Lut, alayhi salam. Then Allah describes how Fir'aun and his army were drowned in the sea because of their rebelliousness. Thereafter, in Ayah 41 and 42, Allah cites the example of the nation of Aad. They were destroyed by a fierce tornado when they rejected the teachings of Hud, alayhi salam. Then the punishment of Thamud is mentioned. And in Ayah 46, that mentions the fifth and final destruction, which took place before all of these have already been mentioned. The example is the example of Qawmi Nuh, the nation of Nuh, alayhi salam, who were drowned in a great flood when they refused to accept his preaching. Thereafter, the surah completes and Surah Tur begins. This is named after the Mount Tur. It refers to Mount Tur, where Musa alayhi salam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and received the Tawrat. The location of this mountain is not certain. Christians maintain it is Mount Sinai, but it is more likely that it is Jabal Maqla or Jabal Lawz in northern Saudi Arabia. The surah begins by taking an oath on this blessed mountain, Wat-Tur, and then on the book which is written on parchment, then on the Baytul Ma'mur, which is the Kaaba for the angels, located in the heavens above the Kaaba of this earth, then upon the sky raised above us. Lastly, Allah then takes an oath on the ocean filled with fire. In describing the ocean as filled with fire, another miracle of the Quran comes to the forefront. Today we know that there are underwater active volcanoes, many of which are active and producing fire. Scientists also say that there is a ring of fire surrounding the Pacific Ocean. So this was not known to people 1400 years ago. So then it is a miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the ocean as full of fire 1400 years ago. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the subject of the oath, Inna عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعَ. Without a doubt, the punishment of your Lord is definitely going to take place. In the previous surah, Dhariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that reward and punishment in the akhirah are a definite reality in the verse. Indeed, what you have been promised is undoubtedly true, meaning qiyamah shall certainly arrive. And the retribution, the reward and the punishment for your actions will undoubtedly take place. So Surah Tur then finishes, and the subject matter more finely in stating in the next verse that nobody will be able to avert the day of Qiyamah. Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu, he once went to Medina after the Battle of Badr to negotiate for the return of the Kuffar's prisoners. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting these verses that nobody can avert the day of Qiyamah. So when he heard these verses, Jubair radiallahu anhu says that he felt his heart would burst with fear and he instantly embraced Islam. Surah Tur continues to describe Qiyamah and Jahannam, thereby warning the Kuffar and then gives glad tidings to the believers who will be entered into Jannah, where they will eat and drink at leisure and they will relax on comfortable couches and be married to the beautiful women of paradise. Allah says that their family who were Muslim will also be allowed to be with them on account of their good deeds. They will have servants to wait on them all the time and they will be an eternal life of enjoyment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. Allah then consoles and encourages Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims to continue in the call to truth, and the surah then ends with an instruction to perform the tahajjud salah. Then the surah completes and Surah Najm begins. Surah Najm means the star. So the following surahs, Surah Najm and Surah Qamar, they are also Makki surahs. Surah Najm means the star. It refers to Thuraya, constellation, which the Arabs used as a means of navigation, and in fact was well known and used by all nations in the northern hemisphere for thousands of years, Allah takes an oath by these stars that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is neither astray nor is he lost. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a means of guidance that does not falter. The surah then references the events of the Mi'raj, the ascension of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the heavens and seeing Jibreel alayhi salam and traveling to Sidratul Muntaha and seeing Jannah and Jahannam and other great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Surah Najm stresses that no intercessor can change Allah's decision of punishment, not Lat, not Manat, not Uzza, nor any other idols of the Quraysh can achieve this to save their devotees from punishment. Therefore, it is futile to worship and supplicate to them. Mention is then made of the just recompense of the Day of Qiyamah, where nobody will be treated unfairly, and then the attitude of the one who accepts then turns away because of peer pressure is recounted. So referring to Walid ibn Mughira, who wanted to accept Islam as he realized it was the truth, but then because of pressure from his companions, he turned away. Towards the end of the surah, Allah mentions the Sirius star. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It might be Sirius star, which is the brightest star in the night sky. It was also used for navigation, and some also worship this star. Allah says, He is the Rabb of this star. It is the sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer and the creator. Then Allah goes to mention the destruction of Ad, Thamud, and the people of Nuh alayhi salam, and then overturned cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, where he showered them with flaming stones. Allah says that the matter, meaning Qiyamah, is almost here, and you should be crying instead of laughing about these warnings. The surah then ends with a command to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then it is a sajda tilawah ayah. Then the surah finishes and Surah Qamar begins. Surah Qamar, after Surah Najm, Surah Qamar, the moon, Surah Najm ended with the verses of warning, starting with the fact that Qiyamah is almost at hand, and Surah Qamar starts with a description of this event, saying that the hour has drawn near, and the moon has been split. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the moon was split into two upon the pointing of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's finger towards it, and it is one of the miracles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This incident has been narrated by a large group of people from that time up till today, and there is no doubt in the matter. No report of denying it. It has come even from the kuffar of that time who witnessed it visually. They, however, claimed that they were bewitched so that they will wait and see what the travelers say who were in the outlying areas. So these travelers also confirmed that they saw the moon split into two parts. The king of Malabar in southern India also witnessed this. And when the Sahaba traveled in his region and he questioned them about it, upon this, which he accepted Islam, and then he traveled to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is recorded in the old Indian history books as well. The surah then describes the events of Qiyamah with more intensity than the previous surah, painting a picture of how people will come forth from their graves like locusts in their millions, spreading out on the plains of Hashr, where people will be gathered for the day of reckoning. The disbelievers will be lamenting in regret that this is a terrible day. The incidents of the previous nations are repeated, as is the style of the Quran, so that it leaves a permanent effect on our hearts, and we can take lesson from each individual point that is brought up, as well as the overall message. The surah then ends with the description of the final abode of the righteous practicing Muslims, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. Verily, those with taqwa shall be enjoying themselves in gardens and rivers, in a grand place near to the all-powerful ruler, meaning close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. My beloved brothers, mashallah, the mu'takifeen, I hope everything is going well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your ibadah. Please remember us sinful servants in your du'as as well. Please make du'a for the entire Muslim ummah. Make du'a for your families closest, your nearest, your family. Make du'a for absolutely everybody. Involve yourself in as much ibadah as you can, in as much Qur'an as you can, as much tilawah as you can, as much nafl, salah that you can, as much tasbihat as you can, as much reading maybe. Educate yourself in the dini matters. As much istighfar as you can, as much du'a as you can. Of course, we are human in nature. We do need a break. You are not machines. You are not robots. So do allow yourself that sleep, that rest, and so that you can be energized for the ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to do their khidmah, to look after them as much as possible, to make their stay here as comfortable as possible, inshallah. We have just over an hour until the iftari time. Just a reminder again, once again, to involve yourself in some form of worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.